weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
We're continuing on our sermon series, The Ways of God, and we've talked about the fact that God's ways are not our ways. And we've looked at some of his attributes. We've discovered that he is holy, that he is powerful, that he is faithful, that he is just. And today we're going to talk about the fact that his ways are loving. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, the latter part of the verse, God is love. That's a description of God. God is love. Now, you know, when we think of the other attributes of God, his holiness and his power and his justice, his faithfulness, we kind of get it. You know, we understand that. But his love is a little more difficult for us to grasp because his love is unconditional. He loves us first. We do not have to love him first for him to love us. We do not have to say, God, I love you. We did not have to do anything, and God loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Notice, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Sigmund Freud once scoffed at the idea of unconditional love. He said, all people are not worthy of love. And human love has its limits. If there is nothing to attract, nothing worth loving, he said, then love fails. But you see, God's love is not human love. It stands against human reason. It doesn't make sense to us when you think about it. It's staggering. It's amazing. And it's like I said, it's not as easy to comprehend as maybe some of his other attributes are. But here's the question. How do we know his ways are loving? How do we know that God loves us? Well, how do you know anyone loves you? How do you know your spouse loves you? How do you know your parents love you? How do you know your children love you? Well, as far as I know, there are only two ways to know that someone loves you. First of all, they tell you they love you, and then they show you they love you by their actions. And that's how we know God loves us. He tells us he loves us, and he shows us he loves us. First of all, God has declared his love. One of the most famous and theologians of the 20th century was a man by the name of Karl Barth. He was from Switzerland. He came over to the United States and he traveled from college to college teaching and preaching. And one question he got asked at a college was this: what is the most profound insight you've ever had? And his famous reply from this intellectual, from this man with a number of PhDs, his famous reply was, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Over and over and over again, God goes on record in the Bible telling us, declaring his love for us. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. That word loving kindness is interesting. It's used over 100 times in the Old Testament. You know, there are some people who kind of think that the God of the Old Testament was always in a bad mood. The God in the Old Testament wasn't very loving. That's not true. It's the same God, yesterday, today, and forever, and he's as loving in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. 100 times, he talks about his loving kindness. Psalm 33:5, the Lord loves righteousness and justice. Notice this, the earth is full of his unfailing love. Psalms 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his love endures, how long, what does it say? Forever. Psalm 107:8, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. And 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. And we could go on and on and on. Scripture after scripture reminds us that God is love. Now, the amazing thing about God's love, which really makes it different than any other type of love, is that it is fully self-initiating. In other words, God doesn't love us because we are so lovable. Now, I know you're lovable. I know that. But God doesn't love us because we are so lovable. He loves us because that's his sovereign choice. His love is intrinsic. His love is part of who he is. That's not true with us, but that's true for God. He is love. Now, God has not only declared his love for us, God has also demonstrated his love for us. And when you think about it, God sends tokens of his love for us every day. I mean, the sun shines, the grass grows, we have air to breathe. I mean, you can think of all kind of these little tokens of God's love that he sends us every day. But the surest proof of God's love has already been delivered. You know, the problem in trying to preach about God's love is we have to use words. And there really are not enough words to describe his love. Frederick Lehman pointed that out in a song entitled The Love of God. And the third verse goes like this. You're familiar with it. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched across the sky. Now, I love that verse because it points out such an important truth to us. If the ocean were filled with ink, if the sky was our writing paper, if each blade of grass was a writing instrument, and every person was a writer, and if we would drain the ocean dry of that ink and write about the love of God in the sky, that would still be inadequate to explain the love of God. But where words fail, you see, the cross of Christ speaks. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us when we were lovable. He didn't die for us when we were saying, God, I want you, I love you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The scriptures declare that God has gone to the max to prove how much he loves us. And it really is hard for us to understand that kind of pure and unselfish love. And it's hard for people in Paul's day to understand it too. So Paul wrote to them, and he said he was praying for them as they tried to grasp all this. So in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, we read, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how high and how long and how wide and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge." You see, it's hard for us to grasp the love of God. Paul's praying for these people because it surpasses knowledge. It surpasses what we understand. But these verses teach us four things about the love of God. First of all, they teach us that the love of God is wide enough to include everybody. God's love embraces every nation, every person, every sinner. Up on the screen, a picture of two $1 bills. On your right is a picture of a dollar bill that is crisp and clean. It looks just like it came out of the treasury, just like it came out of the bank, a new dollar bill. On the left is one that is crinkled and dirty, and even on the top left-hand cover, top left-hand corner is kind of torn. It looks like it came out of my grandson's pocket. That's what it looks like. But here's the thing. Which one is worth more? They are both worth the same, aren't they? And you see, you may be dirty, you may be grimy, you may be wrinkled, and you may be flawed, but you are worth as much to God as anyone on the face of the earth. There is not a person on the earth that is outside the love of God. And that's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Whoever, as Jim was talking about earlier, whoever includes everybody, It includes you. No matter what you've done in the past, God loves you. God's love includes everybody. It's a love that reaches behind the prison bars. It's a love that reaches to that house that is filled with filth and people are shooting up drugs. It's a love that reaches down to the drunk who's lying on the floor in his own vomit. It's a love that reaches into the red district where men and women sell their bodies. It's a love that reaches to the highest and the grandest and the noblest, but also to the smallest and the weakest and even the meanest. It's a love that reaches out to all. Now, God's love is not only wide enough to include everybody, His love is long enough to last every day. And that's hard for us to believe, that God's love is like that, that it lasts every day, because we know some people, maybe it's even you, that somebody told you they were going to love you every day. Somebody told you they were going to love you forever, and they didn't. But that's not how God's love works. Over and over and over again, the Bible tells us, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. Psalm 89:2 says, I will declare your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Paul Harvey used to tell a story about Jack Benny. Most of you know who Jack Benny was. Some of you don't. Jack Benny was an entertainer, radio personality, television personality, probably from the late 20s till the time he died in 1972. Had one of the first television shows on, lasted for a long, long time. Anyhow, Jack Benny one day was sitting in a restaurant and he looked across the street and he saw this beautiful woman walking into the store. And he just wanted to ask her out, but he just couldn't. So he went to the store manager, he found out the woman's name, and he sent her a red rose. And the next day he sent her a red rose. And the next day he sent her a red rose. Well, she's wondering, who's sending me these red roses? He didn't put his name on. So she got a hold of the florist, and the florist gave her Jack Benny's name, and she called him. And she said, why are you sending me red roses? And he said, well, I saw you, and I wanted to ask you out, but I was afraid. And she said, well, you got me on the phone now, ask. So he asked her out. She said yes. And he sent her a red rose the day they went on that date. And the day they went on the next date, he sent her a rose every day. They got engaged, and he sent her a rose every day they were engaged. They got married, and every day of their married life, he sent her a red rose. The first year, the second year, the 20th year, the 40th year, every day she got a red rose. After Jack Benny died, the red roses kept coming. And his wife thought the florist didn't realize that he died, so she called the florist and said, my husband has died. You can stop sending the roses now. And the florist said, no, ma'am. Your husband made arrangements before he died and said you were to get a rose every day of your life for the rest of your life. Now that just illustrates, at least to some point, how God loves. It's a forever, get that word, it's a forever love. It lasts and lasts and lasts. Isaiah 15:10 says, though the mountains be shaken and its hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. Now you can ask, how do I know? How do I know that God loves me like that? Well, you know it because He promised that He does. He said it. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Notice, through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor anything present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, sometimes things happen to us, and it kind of makes us ask, what did I do to offend God? Does God still love me? Sometimes things happen, it makes us feel like God doesn't love us anymore. And Paul is saying, even though you might feel that way, it's not true. Troubles, diseases, hardship, persecution, these are not evidence that God does not love you. These are not evidence that somehow God has become separated from loving you. In fact, he says the opposite is true. When we face these things, we are more than conquerors. When we face these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not only does God not stop loving us, he helps us as we face these difficulties and problems in life. He sticks with us. He doesn't leave us. Now, people who do not know Jesus face the same battles that we face as Christians. They face trouble, they face hardship, they face Satan, they face enemies, they face problems in life, and finally death. And while they win some victories here in this world, ultimately they have no hope. We face these things. It doesn't matter what they are, it doesn't matter who they are. We ultimately win the battle through Jesus Christ. No matter what we face, no matter who we face, ultimately, because of God's love, we are victors. We are more than conquerors. Well, that brings us to the next thing this verse teaches, and that is God's love is high enough to cover every sin. I don't care how you've messed up in life, God's love is high enough to cover your sin. Listen, God knew you when he sent Jesus Christ. He knew who you were. He knew what you did. He did not send Jesus Christ to this world to die for you and then all of a sudden became appalled because he found out what type of person you were. He already knew that. A few years ago, there was a commercial on TV that was one of the most acclaimed and also one of the most criticized commercials. It showed a number of black and white pictures. The first picture was a cowboy with an eye so disfigured it was grotesque to look at. The second picture was a wrestler with a cauliflower ear that was so bad that it made you cringe. And the third picture was a picture of a surfer who had been attacked by a shark, and a good portion of the foot and the leg were gone. Almost had to turn away and not look at it. And there were no words said during the commercial. There was a word on the screen that said Nike, and there was the swoosh symbol. And throughout the commercial, a song played. And the song was, "You Are So Beautiful to Me." Now, I'm not here to promote Nike, but that's a fairly good illustration of how God loves us. God sees you with all your faults, with all your flaws, with all your sins, all the things that you think might make you ugly. And God says, "You are so beautiful to me." That's how high his love is. Ephesians chapter 2, we read, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world, of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." God's love at Calvary is high enough to cover anything you've done. It's wide enough to include everyone. It's long enough to last every day. It's high enough to cover every sin. And it is deep enough to be everywhere. You've heard the name Corrie ten Boom. She was a Christian who lived through the Nazi prison camps in World War II. One time in her flea-infested barracks, she looked to her sister and said, "Betsy, this place is the pit of hell." And her sister said, "Corrie, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper. The depth of God's love is greater than any problem, person, or circumstance we may face. We do not measure God's love by whether or not we are healthy or whether or not we are wealthy. We measure God's love by the gift of his son who died upon the cross that we could have eternal life. Moses Mendelssohn was the grandfather of the great German composer Felix Mendelssohn. Moses Mendelssohn was a small man with a misshapen back. He had a hump on his back. And one day, he went to Hamburg, and he spent about a week there, and he visited a shop, and he saw the merchant's daughter, and he just instantly fell in love with her, most beautiful girl he had ever seen. But when she saw him and this hump on his back, she did not want to look at him. She put her head down. He went back to the store every day, spoke to her, and she would put her head down. But he fell in love with her. Well, the last day he was staying in Hamburg, he went to the shop to say goodbye to the shop owner and to speak to the girl. When he went in, she was smiling and happy, but she saw him and she put her face down again. And he went over and talked to her and said, "I'm leaving today." And they did some small talk, and then he said, "Hey, do you believe that marriages are made in heaven?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "Do you believe that?" And he said, "Oh, yes. I believe that at birth, to each child, the Lord says, 'This boy shall marry that girl.' But in my case, the Lord also added this, 'But alas, your wife will have a terrible hump on her back.' And at that moment, I called out, 'Oh, Lord, that would be a tragedy for her. Please give me the humped back and let her be beautiful.'" And we are told that at that point, the young lady took his hand. She was so moved by those words. And she later became his loving and faithful wife. What does love look like? Well, it looks like a man taking her horrendous hump on his back so the one he loves can be straight and beautiful. What does the love of God look like? Like the Son of God dying on the cross to make us, the ones he loves, sinless and pure. God's ways are loving. If you ever question that, just look at the cross. How grateful we are that God loves us the way he does. If you're here this morning and a Christian, you have to know God loves you and that you're part of his family. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to know God loves you and he gave his son for you that you can become part of his family, that you can have your sins forgiven, you can spend eternity with him. We're going to sing our invitation hymn, and as we do, if there's anyone here who needs to make that decision to become a Christian, we'd invite you to come forward. We can take your confession today, and we can baptize you into Christ Jesus. Let's stand as we sing together.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.